SPR, the People's Pod, giving you unfiltered and unqualified content every single week. I'm Cliff. He's Joe. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
Woo! A lot of great things happening. A lot of good games. Apparently, 11 games in a row, CP3 has lost with Scott Foster as the official. Kwame Brown is back, and he's going crazy on people, taking exception for being called a bust.
That Gilbert stuff, man, that was personal, man. He went in.
He went in on everybody. Giannis takes care of business, saying he doesn't play with his food.
That's a great line.
Fan interaction has got out of hand as they just started throwing things at players. I don't know what the heck
People COVID just like made people crazy.
They are like so desperate for interaction now, you know? So they just jump on the freaking court. Like, what's going on?
That was nuts. What the heck? That guy just, and look on his face was kind of like, oh, what? We can't do this? Like, what's up? Why tackle me?
So social distance over. It's over, right? Naomi Osaka withdraws from the French. Sad. So sad what's kind of happened with there. And LaMarcus Aldridge said his one basketball regret was not working harder on his relationship with Dame Dalla.
Because he sees what this man does in the playoffs, and he's like, dang, why did I go to the Spurs to play with DeRozan? I already had Dame on my squad. Dang, man.
And he said this before what happened
today,
Game 5 against the Nuggets. So let's start all day or cray cray. We're going out west. We got to go to that bottom half of the bracket. Let's go Blazers and Lakers. Both of them have fallen 2-3 to their rivals. Ooh, it's not looking good. Both are one game away from elimination. The Blazers go down 2-3 to the Nuggets after a heartbreaking double overtime loss. And the Lakers go down 2-3 after AD strains his groin in Game 4, misses Game 5, and the Lakers trail by 30 for the majority of Game 5. Joe, all day or cray-cray, the Blazers have the better chance to overcome the 2-3 deficit.
All day. AD, all day. Oh. Unfortunately, I'm not going with the Lakers AD. Even though they have AD, and AD is the problem that the Lakers have. Look, the Blazers, they should have won this game.
Let's talk about Dame, this game five. Talk about this game five.
Dame was freaking amazing.
If you didn't see this game, Dame Dalla, 55, 6, 10, 1, 3. That's right. 55 points, 6 rebounds, 10 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks. One turnover in a double overtime game in which he played a crazy amount of minutes, but those aren't even his best stats. The best stats is that he was 71% from the field. 71% from the field. That's not even the best one either. He was 71% from three, where he has had the most three-pointers scored in the playoffs in NBA history, breaking Klay's record of 11.
This man is ridiculous. Like, like, what the heck? And he had, like 6 clutch shots in a row. He literally went double three, like 3 to get it within 2, and then a missed free throw to get another 3 to send it to overtime. And then he did the same thing again in overtime to get it to double overtime. And even in double overtime, he was sick. If his team, being terrible, just sucking it up unbelievably. We have the numbers here. In overtime, Dame 6 for 8 from the field. The rest of the Blazers 1 for 14.
1 for 14, and the only one, which I mentioned to you while we were texting, because I was like, I can't remember another Blazer scoring, and it was true. It was only one. The only one I remember was Enes Kanter's putback layup. That's it.
Robert Covington sucks. Missed 2 dunks towards the end of the game, 1 in double overtime. that would have cut it to one. And then CJ steps out of bounds on that skip pass when Dame is getting doubled. He's getting covered from like 30 feet. Mm-hmm. And Austin Rivers is calling for help from like 30 feet away from the. He's like, come, we have to double him up here. Obviously makes the right play to CJ, who's wide open on the wing, steps out of bounds. Those are just bad plays, man. I mean, Dame is doing everything he can. He was doing everything he could and then some to keep them in it. Herculean effort.
The Blazers were not great. But like they're going to bounce back because you know what? The Blazers uncharacteristically didn't play that well down the stretch. You know, this is, it's unusual to be this bad. Whereas the Nuggets played really well. Like, this isn't like the Celtics versus the Nets where Tatum is going nutso and they're still down a lot. There's like nothing.
Yeah, they're still down like 20 points. Yeah.
There's like nothing you can do, right? But this is where the Nuggets gave their best shot and the Blazers didn't. And so this is where they can look at themselves, like improve and have that confidence to go back game six, home court, and just try to make it a win.
Yeah, and they definitely have it. I mean, they're going back home. They're going to be pumped up by the crowd. Usually role players play better at home. Hopefully, I'm just hoping that Dame still has a pretty good game. It's hard coming off a 55-point game. Obviously, they're going to game plan for him, try to take the ball out of his hands, try to make CJ beat
them.
This
guy, shocking. Shocking. If this was like a UFC fight, and there's one guy who's like, he's like punching you. Because like the Nuggets played well as a team. Right. Like Monte Morris played well. MPJ played surprisingly well. Aaron Gordon was hitting shots. Jokic was hitting shots. It's like your right hand is punching. Your left hand is punching. You got right kick. You got left knee. All that is going. And the Blazers just had one hand. just
right,
right
hook.
Hand.
Just right hook. It's just like when you're it's like when you're playing the UFC game and like your controller's broken and you just have the one button, the one right hook button. That's all that works. And you just keep pushing it. I'm like, dude, the controller doesn't work. You're like, oh no.
I don't taunt. I don't taunt. I just pretend I don't hear you. I'm like, oh shoot.
I'm like, dude, hey, this controller's not working. Why'd you give me a broken controller?
What?
And then you're like, dude, all right, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to effing beat you with this broken controller. I'm going to beat you with just right hook. And you're just like dodging. you're just blocking. You're using all your moves just so you can get that right hook off, just so you can land that right hook. And somehow, miraculously, you get like three knockdowns. Just with that. No other moves. All your other moves are broken.
Because that's... For those that didn't watch this game, that's what watching Dame was like. Because he was hitting 35-footers. Hitting turnaround step-back threes to tie the game.
The turnaround step-back to send it... What was that? Double overtime?
To send it into double overtime.
Oh, my God. Go watch that shot. What the heck was that?
Yeah, he was dribbling in the lane. Turns around 360.
Step-back.
Step-backs. Fade. Three. Ties
still
the game,
contested,
and he got
by
fouled.
The way. Still well contested, even after the turner, the spin move step back that Andrew Wiggins wishes he could hit.
He always tries that
but
move.
But dang, hit it in his eye. Austin Rivers, I mean, wow. It was...
The remarkable thing about OT was the Blazers were down 9 points in overtime. And no other Blazer hit a shot after that, being down 9. The shot was Enes Kanter at the beginning of OT, and that's it.
Gosh, I mean this man is this man is clutch. He's the most clutch player in the NBA. I don't think it's really close. Do you think there's a player who's close to Dame in clutchness?
Who would even be on that list? Kyrie?
KD, yeah, I mean, but they haven't been in clutch situations much. I mean, they're
in
just
a long
destroying
time.
Everybody. I mean, look, gosh.
I look, the problem, the only problem Dame has in his game is that he's 6'1". That's, it's just his physical, it's like just his what was given to him by God. Hmm. If he was 6'7", don't get it twisted. He would be the best player in the NBA. He would. Because he could get shots off anytime now. But he's had to do crazy moves just to get a bit of breathing room to get the shot off. But you take this Dame Lillard brain and you put it into Andrew Wiggins' body, he would be the best player in the NBA.
He would be amazing. Oh my gosh, can you imagine Dame Lillard, his skills and ability and toughness in Andrew Wiggins' body? Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
It would be crazy. But let's look at the other side of the coin. Then there's the Lakers, who, when asked, he said, LeBron said, these shoulders were built for a reason. Takes for me to put more on top of it, then so be it. Win, lose, or draw, I'm ready for the challenge. And put them on his shoulders he did. LeBron with an amazing minus 24 plus minus netted out to a blowout 30-point loss. But Joe, like the LeBronies will say, he was 24, 5, and 7, 47% for the field, 6 threes. What more can he do?
To be fair, Ramona Shelburne set him up for that answer. She was like, LeBron, are those shoulders at age 36 big enough to carry this load? Those shoulders? It's like,
oh, I see.
Come on.
She let him in.
Come on, media people. Come on. I mean,
they wanted the soundbite.
Give him a script. I mean, just tell him what exactly to say. I mean, if you're going to set him up like that. And then she wrote an article entitled something like LeBron's shoulders are big enough. You know what I mean? She's like, you had the article written before you got the quote. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
hey,
come
man,
on.
Sometimes you do the pre-work so you could go to sleep early, okay?
True. I do appreciate when you
game
do that,
respect though. Game, all right?
I appreciate how you had that the Lakers were going to lose today before the game even started.
I did.
How on the rundown, it was already there.
Yeah, I wrote it on the rundown. I was like, better chance to overcome 2-3 deficit, Blazers/Nuggets or the Lakers? Everyone should have known the Lakers were going to lose this game. Anthony Davis is hurt.
Let me tell you something, Cliff. Let me tell you the name of two guys, respected members of the sports media, who
are I'm already questioning.
Who didn't think the Lakers were going to lose? Who were pretty sure the Lakers were going to win? One, Kendrick Perkins. And one, Nick Wright.
Mr. Dribble Package. Kendrick, of course, Nick Wright.
The broken dribble package. Where you're like, dude, give me my VC back. What the heck? Like, what kind of broke dribble package is this, dude?
It's the default setting you get when your creative character is, like, rated 55.
But, like, worse.
And Nick Wright, guy on LeBroni payroll, on the Clutch Sports payroll. Of course he was on there.
I don't fault LeBron. I don't. I don't fault LeBron for this. Look, he's old, okay?
Yeah.
He can't carry like he used to. It's not 2007. It's not the Detroit Pistons where he goes ham and just, like, destroys them by himself. And look, other analysts were pointing this out. I think Chris Broussard said this. But since that 07 series, he's never beaten a team as good as the Suns without a second star.
Yeah.
Without a star caliber player. And sure. Obviously right now, I mean, no offense, Drummond, but he doesn't have another star on the roster. And so,
I mean, that was one of the guys he beat on that epic 2016 run, Andre Drummond.
And so, yeah, I mean, all those teams that he beat in those other years when guys were hurt and stuff like that, like, they weren't that good. I mean, all those teams, they weren't that good. And so since, I mean, LeBron doesn't really do that much. I mean, he had the 51 on Golden State. And I think after they lost that game because of J.R. Smith, he just gave up. He was like, I'm never doing this again. I'm never going to just try to take over and try to, you know, pull out one of these games. Here's my question. Okay, obviously, yeah, I'm with the Blazers. I think the Lakers, if AD doesn't come back, they're obviously going to lose the series. There's no way they're going to win.
There's no way.
They got destroyed today. I mean, anybody who thinks they're going to win without AD, look what happened. It's not like it was close. Okay, nope. It was not a close game. This was one of the worst games in the entire playoffs so far, including Miami's bad losses, including the Celtics when they got blown out. Like, this was terrible. The game was over in, like, the first quarter.
It was over.
And so they have no chance. With no AD means no chance. If AD comes back, look, can they pull out a game six without AD? Maybe. I don't even know, but...
No. No.
If KCP gets hot, I don't know. Something happens, I mean, they're at home, so maybe they could eke one out. But if AD doesn't come back, they're definitely not going to win game seven. So they need AD back.
The only way they could win game six without AD is if Chris Paul for real is hurt again.
Well, he kind of got hurt today.
Yeah, so he got hurt again. Chris Paul. You know what Chris Paul's body's like? Chris Paul's body's like, you know, things are going a little too well for you. Time to get hurt. That's
yes.
That's what his body is doing to him. Like, what? How did he get hurt again? And it wasn't, no one pulled on it. No one pushed it. He was boxing out and then his shoulder got hurt. I don't understand what happened. But if Chris Paul's shoulder is hurt, that's the small sliver of a window. Because here's my problem of people picking the Lakers without AD. It's one, incredibly disrespectful to the Phoenix Suns, right? The number two seed, Phoenix Suns, they're there for a reason. They're beating people for a reason. They're awesome. Yeah. They're really good. And if you can't see it while they're playing the Lakers right now, they play every game like it matters. Whereas every game the Lakers are playing in these playoffs are like, it's like the 54th game of the regular season. And they're still doing that. Even when they needed motivation against the AD, like when they had no AD. Oh, wait, we got to win it. Got to put it on LeBron's shoulders. How do they play? Really bad. Really, really, really bad. There's no urgency.
There's no urgency.
That's one piece. Other piece is, of course, LeBron doesn't carry anymore. He can't. He just doesn't. And the third thing, of course, is the aforementioned AD. Game one, the Lakers played bad. They lost. Game four, the Lakers didn't have AD. They lost. Game five, Lakers didn't have AD. They lost. Game two and three, AD played really well.
They won.
It's just really as simple as that. So
that is true.
I am also going to go all day for the Blazers. It's not looking good for the Lakers.
They definitely have a
better
chance.
I should have stuck with you and said the Lakers would flame out in round one. Let's move on to a higher highlight of the news. Donovan Mitchell, Spida Mitchell, is back. The Jazz lose without Dono in the first game and are now up 3-1 in the series, and Donovan Mitchell is a plus-minus combined plus 20 across the three games that he's played in the playoffs. But, you know, pundits will say, but Gobert was plus 27 and Conley was plus 26. Yeah. they lost the game that they played. I don't know. Donovan is 28-2-4-1. Conley is 25-10 and Gobert is 16-13-1-3. Joe, all day or cray-cray, the Jazz are the team to beat in the West.
Man, this is kind of tough, actually. I'm going to go cray-cray.
Mm.
Look, the Jazz are great. They are a legit team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was saying this before. Everyone was doubting the Jazz early on in the season, you know, when they were the one seed.
Right.
And people were saying like, oh, you know, they're not legit. They're legit. They're a top five offense and defense. Mm-hmm. I think 3 and 4. 3 offensive rating and 4th in defensive rating. Like, watch them play. They're great. Donovan Mitchell is awesome down the stretch of games. And the way he's playing this year, look how the game slows down when he's running pick and roll with Gobert. He's like, they go under the pick, pull 3, mm-hmm. right? Like, drains it. They try to double on top, splits the defense, goes into the lane, and gets either a layup or an and one. He's done that so many times because he reads the D very well. And so the thing is, I guess the only reason that I'm going to go cray cray is I think the Clippers are just better than them.
Mm.
I think if it comes down to it, people keep jumping back and forth. On Friday, everybody in sports media was saying about the Lakers and the Clippers, both these series are over.
Mm-hmm.
They're over. Oh, yeah, of course, the Clippers, they're down. They're going to lose. You know, they're going to get swept, everyone was saying. And then everyone was saying about the Lakers, Phoenix isn't going to win another game. You know, the Lakers have it in the bag. How the turntables, right?
The turntables have turned.
You know, I think if the Clippers get through this series, they're going to go to the finals.
Wow.
Yeah. I think they're going to go to the finals because when it comes down to it, you put Kawhi on Donovan Mitchell. I don't know. What are they going to do? Right. You got to rely on Conley to carry you in the fourth. Conley's good as a release valve. Conley's good as a second guy, secondary offense in the fourth. Mm-hmm. But you saw what happened that first game without Donovan Mitchell. They couldn't do that much. And so it's weird, but yeah, I mean, I got to kind of say that I think the Clippers are going to go to the finals.
I'm going to go cray cray here. Or no, sorry. I'm going to go cray cray on what you said. I'm going to go all day that the Jazz are the team to beat. Their basketball playing is beautiful. It's like awesome.
It's very good.
Like I've said it before and I'll say it again. This Jazz cast is like watching The Office. You got Michael Scott at the helm, and you got all these other guys that are just supporting people, right? I thought Rudy Gobert was was Dwight, but you disagree. You think he's Pam.
I think it's Pam. There's no Dwight. There's no Dwight, and there's no Jim. This is that period of time where Dwight was working at Staples, and Jim was at Stanford. And The Office was a little weird. It was still funny, but, you know, the strange cast of characters. That's the Jazz.
And I think that the Jazz will make the conference finals and likely will make the finals as long as CP3 is going to be ailing. And so the reason why I'm cray-cray on the Clippers, it actually has nothing to do with basketball, really. It's because the Clipper curse craziest, most strongest force of all time. We haven't said this on the air, but you've mentioned it, that the Clipper curse freaking ruins careers. No one's career is at the peak while you're on the Clippers.
It's crazy. The reason I was thinking about it was because they kept talking about CP3's legacy, and they're like, oh, CP3's legacy, if he doesn't get through this series, and talking about if they win the championship, like, what would happen? And I kept thinking, like, why? CP3's so good.
He is.
Like, I thought back, and I'm thinking, like, why do I have this, like, really distorted view of CP3? Like, why do I think he sucks?
Yeah.
It's because he was on the Clippers. It's because he was on the Clippers, and they just disappointed so badly.
Right.
Like, they so underperformed.
They never made a conference finals.
They never even freaking made the – they couldn't get out of the second round. And then I thought back and I was like, wait a minute. Like, Baron Davis was really good. Like, he was a very good basketball player. And then I was like, Elton Brand was really good. Like, he was a really good basketball player. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized, like, you know, the Clippers, they just ruined careers. I feel like Chauncey's legacy is like a little tainted because he spent some time with the Clippers and just ended bad there. Sam Cassell. I feel like these guys, it just kind of brought them down a little bit.
But even Kawhi, who had one of the most epic runs in NBA history, is one like playoff flameout away from being tarnished.
Yeah. Oh, no. I already said he has the most to lose.
He has the most to lose.
Like, he can go from top three to literally outside the top 10. If they lose to Dallas, especially now that Doncic seems like he's a little bit hurt, if they lose now, Kawhi is out for sure. I mean, we got to take him out. I don't care. You can bring up whatever win percentage you want, okay? I've seen with my own eyes. Last year, I'll give the Clipper curse. Okay, I'll just say, hey, you know what? Clipper curse gets everybody at least once. So like, even the great Kawhi Leonard came and he was like, oh dang, what the, like, what is this? What are these ghosts?
These hollows are swatting my shot.
These hollows are like strong, okay? He didn't know. Okay, he came. He was like, oh, shoot. These are some different hollows up in here. Like, this is a different kind of curse.
But you're saying, like, you should factor the Reiatsu and be able to take the spiritual pressure and overcome.
Yes. Yeah. I'll give you one, okay? There's always an arc. The protagonist has to lose at first, right? Like, you gotta lose at the beginning.
I see. Got it.
But once you go through the visor training and you learn how to hold... You learn how to hold that mask for, you know, 7 seconds or whatever. 24 seconds if you want to go basketball. Whatever, okay? Once you learn how to do that, if you don't come back at the end of the season arc and win, that's when you get downgraded. So for now, I'm just reserving judgment. I mean, I did predict earlier in the year that Paul George would play well in the first round. And then flame out in the second round. So I'm basically banking on Kawhi here. But for now, I'm still going. You know, I thought about it too. And I was like, why did we pick Miami? Thinking back.
Yeah.
Because Giannis. Okay. That's a whole nother story. But
we'll get to it.
For now, I'm gonna say I would still bet on Kawhi. Hmm. I mean, what is he doing right now? He's shooting freaking something crazy, so.
He's going nutso, like quietly going nutso.
I have his numbers here. He's 33-9-4. He's shooting 63% from the field, 48% from three.
Oh.
He's a beast. He's a beast. 88 from the line. I mean, come on. He's sick right now, so. I'm going to still give it to him.
Okay. Moving forward. Let's head out east. Are the Bucks for real? The Bucks swept the Heat. And they handily destroyed them. They won the series by a combined 82 points across 4 games. Giannis is 24-15-8-2-1. Chris 22-7-4, and who I believe is the difference maker, even though I made fun of him and I made fun of how much they gave up for him. Jrue Holiday is 15-7-10-2. Joe, all day or cray cray, the Bucks will beat the Brooklyn Nets.
Cray cray, yeah. The Nets are just too talented, man. I mean, I don't see. I do think Jrue Holiday can give Kyrie some problems, but I mean, Harden, KD, Giannis can't do nothing against he's not going to shut down KD. Yeah, I mean, he can try. Besides that, look, Miami was kind of messed up. They were not looking right the whole season. They ended up flaming that's out. That's probably our worst pick collectively first round.
It's because we believe in Jimmy Butler. They beat him last year.
Yes.
But, you know.
We overvalued.
They didn't play well this year.
They weren't good this year. I mean, looking at the evidence, thinking back, and I don't watch a ton of Bucks games this year. That's probably one of the reasons. But the Bucks certainly got better. Jrue Holiday adds another dimension. I think we underestimated the value of Jrue Holiday. And we overestimated what Jimmy could do when the rest of the squad wasn't looking as together and as on a string as they were last season. And so that's our bad. Just a really bad prediction. That's the one I'm a little bit not proud of the first round of all the predictions we made. Giannis, he's still not looking great. Like, he looks okay, but he had a 10-second violation on the free throw line. It's like, mentally, he doesn't seem like he's all there. And I don't love what he's doing offensively. Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton really carried them through that series.
Yeah, they were clutch.
I mean, look, Giannis did a lot, but in the fourth quarter, he was not doing that much. He was really deferring a lot. Do you think Middleton will be able to do the same when it's not against Tyler Hero and, you know, I don't know, Duncan Robinson? Like, that literally, those are the, like, Goran Dragic, like, those are the people they were matching up against. it was like Jimmy and Giannis, right? They had to play each other, right. And you know, they had to outproduce each other, basically, right? And then you got not just numbers wise, but on the court. And then you got what, Goran and Drew Holiday or Chris Middleton? Mm. I mean,
and then Bam and Chris.
Yeah, Bam and Chris, I guess. I mean, I don't know, but they definitely lost all of those matchups, all three of those matchups. When it comes to the Nets, you got KD, Kyrie, James Harden. I mean, when they want to win, they just are unstoppable. So I still got the Nets.
Yeah, this one is cray-cray. And look, Drew Holiday's impact is good, and that's why the series will actually be good. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be cake for the Nets by any means.
Right.
But for Giannis to beat the Nets, who are championship caliber, like, he needs to ascend. Like, he needs to hit that final form. Yeah, he has to go final form, okay? Like, Giannis has to become the White Ranger, okay? This is what I mean.
So you're saying he's the Green Ranger.
Right now he's the Green Ranger. Okay? He's on the Bucks, right? It all fits. He's Green Ranger. He's got his shiny shield vest thing going on. But as powerful as he is, he's so freaking powerful, right? But he's constantly struggling and losing his power because that green candle is fading away, right? So the green candle starts on the day the regular season starts, but it's slowly fizzling out as the season goes forward, as the playoffs happen. He's like, oh, my power. It's going away.
Oh, Tommy.
He needs to be reborn with a fadeaway to transition into the White Tiger Ranger, where Zordon is like, here's this new guy, and everyone's all nervous.
Who is it? Tommy. Oh, it's Tommy. It's the other character. It's the only other cast member.
It's the only guy it could be. He's the only one you're competing with in the karate tournament.
But when you're in like sixth grade or whatever, you're like, oh, what? No way. I like that. I like
no
that.
Way.
You're like, no way. It's Tommy. How?
I rewatched it again to prep for this, and Kimberly fainted. She's like, oh.
Oh, gosh. What a great show, Power Rangers.
It was. It truly was. Ahead of its time.
What a great theme song. I mean,
great theme song. Classic characters.
That guy on electric is amazing. I like this. I agree, because the only thing that Giannis needs is confidence. Mm-hmm. It's weird, but that's what he needs. He can hit that turnaround. He did hit it several times in the Heat series. He only didn't hit it when it mattered. Like, any time that it was important, he didn't hit it. He hit it tons of times when they were up like 20. When they were up 10, up 20,
when
he was like,
loose,
oh, yeah.
And you're feeling confident?
Yeah. Then you're just hitting. He still wasn't hitting threes when they were up 20, though, by the way. But that fadeaway, he can really hit that. The thing is, he doesn't have the confidence to take it when it's actually a tight game. I just don't believe that you can go really far when your best player doesn't play his best.
Yeah.
You know, consistently. I mean, you can survive a game like that. I mean, Giannis is shooting 45% right now. His numbers are all down, even though he still has really good numbers, but they're all kind of down from his regular season number. And he's shooting 45%, which for him is really, that's not good. He should be shooting
at least
55%.
When you're always dunking, you should be higher than 50%.
when all your shots are like within 6 feet of the basket, and also your wingspan is like 9 feet, I think you should be able to shoot a high percentage.
I really want, like, whenever I see Chris Paul play, I think of Giannis, and here's what I mean. Chris Paul always shoots the same shot when they need a bucket. He dribbles all the way to the lane, fades to the right. And like inside the L. Both sides, right side and left side, but usually on the right side of the court. And he always hits it. Because that's his shot. the shot that he always takes. And you know what? That's why I think of Giannis, because I want him to have his shot that he always takes, that he can get at any point, because this isn't Dame. He's not 6'1". This isn't Chris Paul. He's not 6 foot. This dude is huge. He can get any shot he wants on the court if he just finds the one that he can do that when it's tight, like you're saying. When it gets tight, you have to go to what works for you. What you know for sure is going
to
work.
You go to muscle memory. And that's the shot you practice a million times. And that's why that's the one you go to in the clutch. Because it doesn't matter what the defense is doing. You know you can get that shot. You know you can make that shot. He doesn't have it, though. I mean, look, KD has that baseline turnaround.
He does. It's so good.
He can make that every single time. You know, Kyrie has his dribble, 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 get in the lane, do a crazy layup.
James Harden's step back three.
Yeah, and I know that doesn't seem like it's a signature shot, but for Kyrie, somehow it is. You know, Giannis doesn't have it.
Unfortunately for him, he's going to go up against a real juggernaut. Joe, let's talk about the Nets. Can anyone beat the Nets? Because maybe all that posturing by the media was correct. You know, KD, Kyrie, and Harden put up 104 points in one of the games against Boston. And you know what? That big four is pouring it in. KD, 33, 7, 3, 1, 2. James Harden, 28, 7, 11, 1, 1. Kyrie, 25, 6, 3, 1, 1. Blake Griffin, 5, 3, 2. Come on, guys. Blake is averaging 5 points a game. And there's still highlights of him. Isn't that crazy?
How do they even include him, man? This guy's playing worse than literally everybody in the playoffs. Every single other player. Go look up like Robert Covington's numbers. Like, he's got like some legit numbers, dude.
All day or cray cray, the Nets will be the NBA champs this year.
All day.
Wow.
I mean, you got to go all day at this point. Who can beat them? The Lakers were the only team that even had a chance.
Right.
Lakers not looking good. I'm sorry, but it's just not looking good. You know, AD's injury, from what I saw, doesn't look like it's one that he's going to get over in like a couple days.
It's a groin injury. That's not good.
LeBron was out for like 2 months with a groin injury, right? Mm-hmm. And he already had a knee. He already kind of wasn't looking 100%, to be honest. LeBron also doesn't look 100%. They're not motivated, man. They just don't care. LeBron's already up in his excuses right now. Like, he's already activated the Tsukiyomi, and he himself has entered into it. Okay, he doesn't care if anyone's coming with him. He's like, you know what? I'm going to go into the Tsukiyomi myself and just enjoy my little fantasy paradise where I don't have to deal with all this media talking about, you know, how great I'm supposed to be or whatever. He doesn't care, man. Like, if he really was going to try, I mean, today's the day. It's the must win. It's game five. It's where the series hinges. You win game five, you can win game six at home and move on and maybe buy some time, and maybe AD will be better next series. I don't know. It's just not looking good. And so if the Lakers are out, who is there? I mean, even if the Clippers go all the way, I mean, I love Kawhi, but that's pretty much where it ends. You got Kawhi versus KD, and then you got PG. I'd take Harden over PG. I'd take Kyrie over PG. I'd take either one of them over PG. So you're down there. And then if the Jazz made it to the finals, I wouldn't be shocked. If the Jazz beat the Clippers, I wouldn't be shocked. But if they beat the Nets fully healthy, totally shocked. I'd be like, wow, they have some legit like, Rudy Gobert must be averaging 10 blocks a game. I can't imagine Donovan Mitchell, as great as he's been for a young superstar, I can't imagine him out-dueling KD, Kyrie, and Harden 4 games out of 7. I can see him doing it once. We've seen it. Donovan Mitchell, if he's on fire, 57 points last year. Yeah, Tatum's done it. So, like, they could do it once. And, you know, Brooklyn, admittedly, they admitted they kind of, maybe they came in not super motivated. I mean, yeah, look at them. I don't think they've tried 100% in any game this whole year. I haven't seen them try like their life depended on it for 48 minutes. So I don't know. I just don't think they can be beat.
I mean, back when we were asking if the Lakers were the favorites, I mean, the Nets have to be the favorites then, and they're still the favorites now. So if you're the favorites, you got to go all day that they'll be the NBA champs. But here's the thing. I hate the way they play basketball. It's not fun to watch. It's a lot of isolation basketball. I mean, all three of those guys are amazing at basketball. They are, but oh gosh, no ball movement, you know?
It's a lot of my turn, your turn. Yeah.
It's like the Heat. Try to make a shot one-on-one again, because most of the time their one-on-one is better than anybody else.
Yes. It's the big three Heat, but like on steroids. It's, you know, when D-Wade and LeBron would like take turns.
Yeah.
It's a lot of that, unless they're in transition.
I mean, the talent gap is just way too large. Nobody can compete in terms of the talent. So really, this is really going to be on Steve Nash, because is he going to be Josh Whedon or is he going to be Zack Snyder? Like, you just got to usher it. You just got to let them do their thing and figure it out. Just don't get in their way. Just, I guess, basically what he's doing.
Well, it depends on the fit, right? Because Joss Whedon did a good job with the Avengers.
That's true. I guess the follow-up, I mean, that question was a little too easy, but I guess the question that's more interesting is, are the Nets big three the best big three in history? You got LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. You got KD, Steph, and Clay. You got KG, Pierce, and Allen. And you got Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman.
Man. Are we going, you know, talent? What are the parameters? What's the criteria?
Let's just go. Who would win in a game, 3-on-3?
I'm gonna go KD, Steph, Clay. I gotta go KD, Steph, Clay. It's tough. I mean, look, Steph. What is he? Top 15 all time. KD, same thing. Clay is just perfect in that group.
Yeah.
You know, plays D, big guard. He can D up Harden or Kyrie, whatever.
And flamethrower.
Yeah, flamethrower. And clutch. And super clutch. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, if Steph is lacking slightly in the clutch, you got Clay who's going to more than make up for it. And if you're going Steph versus Harden in the clutch, I'm going Steph. So you got more on the clutch side. You got more on the complement one another side. And you got great top level talent. So I would go that one.
I'm actually with you. KD, Steph, and Clay are the best big three I've ever seen. Just
amazing.
The crazy spacing that they can provide. They can play inside, they could play outside, but most importantly, they play well together, like combined. Because obviously, LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, that's like star power, super duper star power. But their games just do not complement each other.
They don't match. Yeah, they don't mesh.
They don't mesh, right? Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman, like Jordan is, of course, the GOAT. Right. And you can't – they're the most accomplished three of all of these guys. But, I mean, Rodman is not at the level of some of these other guys, you know, as a third-tier.
I mean, defensively, that's definitely the best defensively.
The best defensive team.
They're like a defensive monsters. Yeah, they're – but offensively, it's a different story. But, you know, maybe they'd win, though, because they just play crazy D and Jordan just takes every shot.
I mean,
they probably would win, actually.
I don't know. We've seen Dame do it.
They probably would win. I mean, if you had KD, Steph, and Clay versus Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, they just lock them down on D, and then Jordan just shoots every shot. Is that fair? Is that like, does that make sense for this exercise? You just go Jordan and like two all-time defenders.
You throw like Ron Artest and...
Like Dwight and like...
Ben Wallace.
Know. Yeah, just like, I mean, I don't think that's the right spirit of the exercise.
Right. I think for me, because I saw that posted in like a picture box, of course. It just made me realize like how crazy it is, and you've mentioned this before, to have either Harden or Kyrie as your third best player on the team.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. And as much as I make fun of Harden, dude is a league MVP, 9-time All-Star, and has never missed the playoffs, even when he's led a team with nobody. Kyrie, 7-time All-Star, made the biggest shot in probably NBA Finals history.
Yes, definitely. Like, game 7 on the road.
These guys are no slouches. They're all top 15 NBA players. And KD, arguably the best player in the NBA.
They got to be favored at this point. I mean, even if the Lakers somehow manage to get out of the series, you got to believe that they're not going to be 100% the rest of the way.
If the Lakers are healthy, would I take the Lakers? I don't know, because they just don't look good.
They don't look great.
Not gelling with Drummond. Not like. Remember all the Laker fans that hated on Marc Gasol? Now they're all clamoring for Marc Gasol. So fickle. So fickle.
Laker fans, y'all are crazy. We we get it, but not our year this year. There are no answers to be had. I'm sorry. Like, if there was something out there they could do, if there was a coaching move they could make, I think they'd do it, but there just isn't. Like, we need LeBron to be the only way for us to get out of the series is for LeBron to do what Dame is doing, to do what Jason Tatum did, to do what Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray did last season. Like, we need that from LeBron, and I just don't think we're going to get it.
He needs to go Super Saiyan.
But he's like up in heaven, like, nah, I retired. I don't go Super Saiyan anymore. I just chill up here.
He's got the halo?
He's got the halo.
You know what they need? They need the freaking Dragon Balls to wish LeBron to be able to...
to wish LeBron back?
To wish LeBron to be the carry LeBron of that game 6 against the Celtics when he had the...
Do you think maybe it's like a reverse Samson deal where like he sold some of his skills to like get the hair, and now if he just shaves his head, he will like regain all of the power that he's given up suddenly.
What if he shaves his head
10 extra inches on his dude? If he shaved his head for game 6 and just came out of the tunnel with the shaved head, like Game of Zones style after with the Kobe dagger. I'll be a LeBron fan. I'm just going to flip over just immediately. No explanation. Just like all of a sudden, I go from LeBron hater to LeBroni. I'm going to be one of the LeBronis. I'm going to buy a shirt. I'm going to create a shirt that says LeBroni on it.
It says 2016 was the greatest year.
That's when it's just LeBron quotes on it. That's when I knew that I had become the greatest. It's on the front. It just says Cleveland. On the back, this is for you.
It's a picture of 3 rims. The other two are blurry. Shoot for the middle. It's an inspirational quote.
Aim for the middle. I can't see. It's that face. It's him making that face and being like, I can't see. Rubbing his eye. Inspirational. So inspirational. Wait, what was it? These shoulders were made for... What was it? Dang it. I don't remember. These shoulders were built for a reason. Dang. LeBron, where do you come up with these quotes, man? When does Windhorse have time to write these down for you?
They're prepping in the back. They're prepping right before he
comes out.
It's like a WWE match, you know? Like they like rehearse all the spots. And then when you forget, they like mouth it to you.
Man, some
hit the ropes.
I don't know, CJ. You're probably busy because you're in a tough series right now. But if you can get this message to LeBron as soon as possible,
shave the head, go bald, and you will ascend. You will ascend to the next level.
You'll be unlocked. Oh, the final form will be reached. It's a reverse Saiyan situation. Not more hair, less hair. It's less hair. Shave it all.
The reverse Super Saiyan. The shinier the scalp.
That's where the power comes from. It's the aerodynamic. It's scientific, Cliff. It's the aerodynamics. Yes. It's the physics.
And that's SBR, guys. That's what you get.
That was great. That's what you came for. Not the analysis.
That's what you get when you listen to SBR. It wasn't even about LeBron. This talk is about the Nets being NBA champs.
Hey, we find a way, okay, to make it about LeBron.
He did it again. He did it again. LeBron all along. LeBron
Anchor,
all along.
Anchor Sama and LeBron Sama. They're the ones who pay the bills. Thank you, Clutch. Thank you, Clutch. This podcast has been brought to you by Clutch Sports.
Have you ever wanted to start a podcast? Clutch Sports has everything for you.
Clutch Media.
All right, let's wrap this up. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the People's Pod. Subscribe, like, comment, share, rate, give us 5 stars. We'll be back next week with more nonsense. SBR with Cliff and Joe. Peace.
Peace.